Well, good morning to each and every one of you. Have you ever seen a metal cooking pot that looked clean on the outside, but when you lifted the lid, you were disgusted at how dirty it was on the inside? The food had been left for so long that it was caked on. Well, with that thought in mind, Jesus warned that if we don't continually clean the inside, our soul, our spirit, it can become caked on with sin. Our main text this morning comes from Luke chapter 11, beginning in verse 37, where Jesus addresses this very thing, this very problem. Luke 11, beginning in verse 37, says, "Now when he had spoken, a Pharisee asked him to have a meal with him, and he went in and reclined at the table. But when the Pharisee saw it, he marveled that he had not first ceremonially washed before the meal. But the Lord said to him, 'Now you Pharisees clean the outside of the cup and of the platter, but inside of you you're full of robbery and wickedness. You foolish ones, did not he who made the outside make the inside also? But give that which is within as charity, and then all things are clean for you.'" Matthew's account reads like this, Matthew chapter 23, and we'll begin reading in verse 25. Matthew 23 and verse 25. Jesus says, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you clean the outside of the cup and of the dish, but inside they're full of robbery and self-indulgence. You blind Pharisee, first clean the inside of the cup and of the dish, so that the outside of it may become clean also. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites, for you're like whitewashed tombs, which on the outside appear beautiful, but inside they're full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. In this way you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inwardly you're full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Cleaning the inside. Jesus over and over and over again, and we're going to go to Mark in a little bit and look at where he emphasizes this even more. Many of the Pharisees, they were very careful about cleaning and purifying the outside. And over time, they had come up with all these religious rituals and rites and traditions to clean what they thought was the outside. And so these, and some of them were very elaborate. We'll talk about one here in just a minute. And what they did was to ensure outward cleanliness, outward purification. Here's one of those. One source described the Pharisees as possessing special stone containers of water, because ordinary water might be unclean. The person would take enough water to fill 1.5 eggshells. They would pour water first from the fingers down to the wrist, and then from the wrist down to the fingers. And they were very, very meticulous about this. So no wonder when Jesus went into this house to eat, he didn't do any of those things. So the Pharisees said, "Why didn't you clean your hands?" That's what's important, is cleaning your hands. Well, those washings that the Pharisees did, that it came from traditions, they were not authorized by God. They did not come from God. God did not tell them to do that. And especially, he did not tell them to do that as an act of worship. So what Jesus is doing here today applies to us as well. He is condemning them for allowing these religious traditions to get in the way of obeying God. Because this practice led to pride. It led to self-righteousness. Now, if we go to Mark chapter 7, we're going to read several verses there that deal with this very thing. Mark chapter 7, and first of all, we're going to read verses 1 through 8. Mark 7, 1 through 8. "And the Pharisees and some of the scribes gathered around him when they had come from Jerusalem, and had seen that some of his disciples were eating their bread with defiled hands, that is, unwashed. For the Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they carefully wash their hands, thus observing the tradition of the elders. And when they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash themselves. And there are many other things which they have received in order to observe, such as the washing of cups and pitchers and copper pots. And the Pharisees and the scribes ask him, "Why do your disciples not walk according to the tradition of the elders, but eat their bread with defiled hands?" And he said to them, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you hypocrites. As it is written, 'The people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vain do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men.' Leaving the commandment of God, you hold to the tradition of men." So there's the first thing we're seeing here, is they were following these traditions, not authorized by God, and they were not following the commandments of God. Well, he goes on, we skip down to verse 14. "And after he called the crowd to him again, he began saying to them, 'Listen to me, all of you, and understand. There's nothing outside the man which can defile him if it goes into him. But the things which proceed out of the man are what defile the man. And if anyone has ears to hear, let him hear.' And when he had left the crowd and entered the house, his disciples were asking him about the parable. And he said to them, 'Are you lacking understanding in this way as well? Do you not perceive that whatever goes into the man from outside cannot defile him? Because it does not go into his heart, but into his stomach and goes to the sewer. Thus he declared all foods clean.' And he was saying, 'That which proceeds out of the man, that is what defiles the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed the evil thoughts, sexual immoralities, thefts, murders, adulteries, coveting, wickedness, deceit, sensuality, envy, slander, pride, and foolishness. All these evil things proceed from within and defile the man.'" Jesus is telling them and us that outward observances, regardless of what it is, they're useless without that inner purity, without that inner holiness, without that inner cleanliness. So the Pharisees and a lot of the other religious leaders as well, they outwardly appeared holy, because people would see them observing all these things like washing their hands so carefully and all these other things that God never authorized. But see, Jesus says, inwardly, you're filthy, you're corrupt, you're wicked. So all of those outward things you do are for nothing at all. So Jesus said these outward religious acts, regardless of what they were, same way for us today, they don't cover sin. They don't cover sin. You're still just as wicked and dirty and evil on the inside as you were. So just because you wear this public mask of holiness, of piety, whatever, that doesn't cleanse anybody of sin. So therefore, you need to ask yourselves, as we're as concerned with holiness on Monday as we are on Sunday. So how does this cleansing begin? Let's go back and read something that Isaiah wrote many years ago. Isaiah, we're going to read chapter 1, verses 5 and 6. Isaiah 1, verses 5 and 6. This is what he says. "Where will you be stricken again as you continue in your rebellion? The whole head is sick and the whole heart is faint. From the sole of the foot, even to the head, there's nothing sound in it. Only bruises, wounds, and raw wounds. Not pressed out, not bandaged, not softened with oil." And then in that same chapter, verses 16 and 17, he says, "Wash yourselves, purify yourselves, remove the evil of your deeds from before my eyes. Cease to do evil, learn to do good. Seek justice, reprove the ruthless, execute justice for the orphan, and plead for the widow." He says that's what you need to do. See, the cleansing, it's what's on the inside. Well, David would say something similar in Psalms 51. This is his, Psalms 51 is David's psalm of repentance. And in Psalms 51, let's read the first three verses to begin. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the abundance of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Ever before me. Then in verse 7, purify me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. Verse 10, he says this. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So from what we read in Isaiah 1, Psalms 51, we have to understand that cleanliness, the only way that it can be clean is it comes from God. God has to cleanse our heart. That's how it happens. Well, we go to the New Testament age, the Christian age. When does that happen? We go to John chapter 3. We read about the new birth. This, of course, is Jesus' conversation in John chapter 3. And we're going to read verses 3 through 5. John 3, verses 3 through 5. This is the conversation he has with Nicodemus, the ruler of the Jews. Beginning in verse 3, he says, Jesus answered and said to him, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Well, Nicodemus said to him, how can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So this happens, first of all, this conversion, this initial cleansing happens when one is born again, when they experience the new birth. And as we read right there, it involves the Spirit and it involves the water. This is exactly what Titus tells us in Titus chapter 3. Titus uses very much the same concept in describing this cleansing, this washing. Titus 3, verse 5. He saved us, verse 4 says, God our Savior, he saved us not by works which we did in righteousness, but according to his mercy, through the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit. There's the washing with water, and there's the Holy Spirit again. So this cleansing, this purification, this washing, all right, is in response to what God said in his word. Notice what 1 Peter chapter 1 tells us. 1 Peter chapter 1, we'll begin in verse 22. Notice how all of this goes together. 1 Peter 1 verse 22 says, since you have in obedience to the truth purified your souls for a love of the brothers without hypocrisy, fervently love one another from the heart, for you have been born again, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, that is, through the living and enduring word of God. Notice they purified your souls. How? In obedience to the truth. So when one obeys the truth, that's when this cleansing takes place, that's when this purification takes place, that's when this washing takes place. And so when that believer, one who believes in Christ, believes that Jesus is the Son of God, believes that he rose from the dead, when that person repents, you know, he's penitent, he's turning his life around, then Acts 22:16 tells us that the moment when he is immersed in water, then that cleansing, that purification, that washing takes place. Notice Acts 22:16. This, of course, this is Paul reiterating about his conversion. So he is told there by Ananias, now why do you delay? He's talking to Paul. rise up and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on his name. When were the sins washed away? When he rose up and was baptized. So that's when this initial cleansing, this initial purification takes place. And then because of that, one is transferred into the kingdom of Christ. Still in Acts, we go over a few chapters. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. This is also Paul telling of his conversion again. Paul tells of his conversion several times. In verse 18 it says, "To open their eyes so that they may turn from darkness to light and from the authority of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who have been sanctified by faith in me." Forgiveness of sins and an inheritance. There's the initial cleansing. There's the initial purification. There's the initial washing away of sins. That's how we initially have a pure heart. But that cleansing has to continue. It's not once cleansed, always cleansed. The writer James tells us this. We turn over to his epistle and we notice something James says. He tells us this is an ongoing process. One must continue to cleanse your hands and purify your hearts. It's an ongoing process. Our heart can become caked with sin. So James 4, verses 7 and 8. "Be subject therefore to God. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you." Now notice this. "Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded." Says that's what you need to do. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. That means we have to take care of, attend to, watch for our motives, our desires, our purposes, our passions. That is something we must do at all times. So our goal is to have a pure heart, a clean heart. We go back to 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Paul tells Timothy, this is what your goal is. "But the goal of our command is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and an unhypocritical faith," a sincere faith. That's the goal. Love from a pure heart, good conscience, sincere faith. That's what it should be. But we have to continually do this. We have to continue to deny ungodliness and live righteously. We go to Titus. Go to Titus chapter 2. Verse 11 says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us that, denying ungodliness and worldly desires, we should live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age." See, that's something that's ongoing. We have to continue to deny ungodliness and worldly desires. And we have to live sensibly, righteously, and godly. That's a continual thing. That's not a once and done thing. That means what? We have to continue to put off the old man and put on the new man. You know, when Paul wrote to the church at Colossae, he spent a large portion of that letter talking about that very thing. Putting off the old man with all of those, with the lust and the malice and the hatred. Put on the new man. The new man has self-control. He has a clean heart. He is concerned about others. And of course, that leads us to producing the fruit of the Spirit. Love and joy and patience, self-control. That's what we're to produce. Again, that's ongoing. See, we, of course, a lifetime of putting away, this is a continual process, putting away all those things of the old sinful person and putting on the things of the new. So we have to be careful about what Jesus said. You know, as Christians, we have to make sure that our inward man and our outward man match up. In other words, our heart and our walk, our thoughts and our actions, they need to stay the same. They need to be together. Because hypocrisy turns away unbelievers more than anything else. That's going to turn away people from the Lord and from His church more than any other thing. And that harms new believers as well. We're going to end with Psalm 24, which tells us this. Psalms 24 and verse 3 says, Who may ascend to the mountain of Yahweh, of God, of Jehovah? And who may rise in His holy place? He who has innocent hands and a pure heart, who's not lifted up his soul to worthlessness and has not sworn deceitfully. See, he has clean hands, innocent hands, and a pure heart. That's what God wants. He wants our heart and the outward man to match up. So this morning, we have an invitation song. If there's a need in your heart to respond and ask for prayers, then we certainly encourage you to do that. Let's stand and sing this song.